Beloved brethren and friends, my wife and I bring you the warm greetings of the brethren in Jamaica. And from my home assembly there at Goshen, in Jamaica we love the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. We love the whole word of God. The word of God is sweet. And we are privileged to sit and to listen to God's word. I don't want to depart from what is before us. So I'm going to ask us to turn again to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21 from verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses, and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent has bitten any man, when he behold a serpent of brass, he live. St. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and I read from verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I read it again. Should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. As we were occupied this morning, they were sending messages to different kings who have owned God's land and saying, allow us to pass through. They sent to Edom. They sent to Esau. Esau says, no. They sent another message. He said, no. And they turned back. The Lord said, don't fight them. And they turned back. And so that is what we have here. They were now compassing, going around that whole land of Esau. And it was much discouraging because they have come so close and have to retrace their steps all the way to go around. And God remember what Esau did. I'm not going to be occupied with that. But because of discouragement, it caused the people to speak words that they should not, but actually it was what in their hearts. They spoke against the Lord, and they spoke against Moses. The thing is, they before had spoke against Moses, and they spoke against Aaron. But now they spoke against the Lord, and that was a serious matter. And they spoke against God's provision. God has provided manna for the food. Man did eat the mighty's meat. God has made a great provision for them. But they despised the manna. And they said, our soul hated it. Our soul hateth this light bread. And so they despised what God has provided. And God, who was protecting them from these venomous snake, he just lift his hand a little bit, and these serpents came over and bit the people. But this serpent, as we read in Revelation, is the same old serpent that actually spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. This serpent had bit our forefather. And the venom of sin has passed on down through the bloodstream. And that's why, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. All have sinned. And the little infants, they might not have personal sin of their own, but they're born with the sin nature. And so I believe that perhaps all in this building, the moment you know right from wrong, need to repent and turn to the Lord. Need to repent and to own up to God as to who we really are, because we are sinners. We are not just half good people. We are bad people. That's how we're born. We're born bad. And every slice of man is sinful, because it runs through the bloodstream. And the blood that is running through our vein is sinful, is poisonous. And that's why we are dying. Have anybody ever asked you how young you are? They ask you how old you are, because we are dying. We are going back to the grave. And you need to be saved before you actually die. Before you take the last breath, my friend, make sure that you have the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. And so they realize that they have sinned. They realize that they have gone wrong, and they came to Moses and confessed their sins. They said, we have sinned against God, and we have spoken against God. We have spoken against you, Moses. You know, sometimes we like to generalize. But here they specify their sins. They say, we have spoken against God, and we have spoken against you. Pray to God for us. So Moses going to prayer, and God provided the way of salvation. God always provides a way of salvation. Whenever people are humble, a broken and a contrite heart, he will not despise. And so God said, make a serpent out of brass, and hoist it on a pole. And it shall be that whosoever is bitten by a serpent, when he look on that serpent of brass, he shall live. That's God's word. God said, if anybody in that camp is bitten by a serpent, all that person have to do is look on the serpent of brass. And some people might say, oh, that is too easy. That is too easy, man. Just look. It has to be something more. No, God said, look. And God said, look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved. For beside me, or apart from me, there is no Savior. You know, God have one Savior. God sent one Savior into the world. I keep saying that. God sent one Savior into the world. He did not send a Savior for the white men, and a Savior for the black men, and a Savior for the other colors in between. He sent one Savior. And all people have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, for there is none other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It's only by the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved. And so That was it. A simple way. Profound. That's God's way. And there is a, imagine with me now. There's an old man, bedridden, because he have cancer, he have pneumonia, he have all kind of complaint. And he is ready to die. And one of those same old serpent climbed up into his bed, in his couch, in his tent, and bit him. And then he could scarcely turn his head, but he turned and he looked, and way there was a serpent, and he gazed upon it. You know what about that man? If God have to cure his cancer and cure his all kind of illness, including AIDS, whatever he might have, that person is going to live. Because the word of God said, if you look, if you are bitten and you look, you will live. But there's a young man who came up, which is the biggest university around here, Harvard, Yale, which is it? Medical. he's just out of university. And he's coming into the camp, and he saw the people in all their confusion and some gazing at the serpent. And he said, what is going on here? And one lady says, son, the serpent is among us, and it bit us. And if we look on that serpent of brass, we say we live. And he laughed at the idea. How can a piece of brass up there help me if I have venom in my body? How can it extract the poison? And he reasoned it out and said, it is not logical. I can't accept that. And while he's there and disputing the logics of it, one of them serpent bit him. And he's reaching to his pocket, he get out his knife, and he lanced the place. Brother Hannah, you'll know how to tell them to do it. And he get onto it, and he squeeze, and he use all his medication that he knows that to apply to such a thing. And you know what happened to him? He dead. He died. With all that he was using, he died. Because there is one simple remedy, and that is to look to the serpent of brass. And the Lord Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he was lifted up at Calvary's cross. There they hoist him. There was two other crosses and the Lord Jesus in the middle. And God poured out his wrath upon him. God judged him in our stead. He took our punishment and he suffered, bleed, and he died there and was buried. But the third day he rose again. He got up back from the grave, you know. And he took off his grave clothes and he folded them and he put them down and he walked out of the tomb. And they saw him and they eat and drink with him after his resurrection. As a matter of fact, when he entered the room and they were all assembled there, and he said, do you have anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of wild fish and a piece of honeycomb, and he took it and he ate it before them. It was really Jesus. When they told Thomas said, me, I will not believe it. I will have to see him first, put my hand in his side, put my finger in the prints of the nail before I believe it. 8 days after that, the Lord Jesus came when they were gathered. The door was bolted and the Lord stood in mid and said, Thomas, here is my hand. Reach there your hand and here is my side. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. The Lord Jesus said, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are they who have not seen me and yet believe. Today you have that privilege to be tremendously blessed. That you have not seen the Lord, but you believe the report. You believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again. And he ascended and he's coming back again. He's coming back again. The angel, or the two men in white apparel, testify of that. Because you remember, brethren, how he led them out to the Mount of Olives. And while he was blessing them, he was parted from them. He was taken up. And they watch him gradually, you know, not just vanish out of their sight. They watch him going up until the cloud receive him out of their sight. Jesus has ascended. He was delivered for our offenses. But he lives again. He's risen again for our justification. You can be justified from all things from which you can never be justified by the works of the law or any good deeds that you might done. It is not a works, lest any man should boast. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must see yourself as a sinner and confess yourself such. That I'm a sinner. I am good for nothing. But it is not after the manner of we human beings to think like that. We think of other people as good for nothing. But me, I am good. I am nice. And so on. That's the way we like to think. And if we ever think of coming to the Lord when my conscience is aroused and I think of coming to the Lord and I think that, okay, I have to stop doing this and stop do that, I fix up myself so I might present myself acceptable to him. Oh, no. You come to the Lord Jesus in all your sins, with all your hang-ups, with all your problems, and he will clean up your life, give you a new life, give you, write down your name in his book, the book of life, and you will never be the same again. You can go on living for him from henceforth. You need to take Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, and he will bless your life tremendously. He will take away all your sins and make you a brand new person. So the Lord Jesus says that God so loved the world. No angel, no Old Testament prophet or patriarchs or man of God ever brings such a message. It takes the Son of God who dwells in the Father's bosom to tell us of the love of God. God so loved the world. Listen, it cannot be explained. It's beyond the human mind to explain how God loved we, the unlovable. We who are hostile towards him. God loved us in spite of who we are. And he wants to make you a member of his family. He wants to bring you into blessing. So he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him. I believe this is easier than even looking. In the Old Testament, as we were looking here, it said you need to look. But here, it is to believe. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. If you believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It is plain and simple and easy as that. But this cut against the grain of man's pride. We all want to think that we achieve something. Especially if it is something good that I have worked for it. I have achieved it. But not so. It is the free gift of God. Now, do not let your fear, and do not let your pride, and do not let anything that Satan may whisper in your ears to prevent you from accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember we set up the tent in Santa Cruz, Jamaica, and when the call was given, everybody was singing the last hymn before we closed the meeting, and the brother who was closing the meeting asked that if there is anyone who want to take the Lord Jesus Christ, he should remain standing. You see, sometimes in this big crowd and thing, we have to identify those who really want to, because people get mixed up and gone and things like that. So he asked that you must remain standing. And he thought that quite a number of people were going to stand up. He alone was standing up. And he told us afterward that, Brother Milton, that night when I stood up and I looked around and everybody was sitting down and me one stand up, he says, Satan says to him, are you an idiot? Are you foolish? Don't you see all the people looking at you? You alone stand it. Sit down. Sit down. But the tears started running down, and that night he accepted the Lord joyfully, like Zacchaeus. He accepted the Lord joyfully, and he continued in fellowship with the brethren until the Lord called him home. And so I'm going to ask you to defy whatever Satan might be telling you, or even maybe using your friends or somebody else or something else to tell you not to do it now. Wait until another time. And as I say that, I remember my cousin. And she was planning to do it on Boxing Day, which is the 26th of December in that particular year. But she and our friends said, we will go to Grand Market. We have a market we call like that. We'll go to Grand Market. We have a great time. And then at the conference and Boxing Day, you can accept the Lord. And she has a plan. But she was returning from Grand Market. Have a great time. And everybody not thinking what they're doing. They drive off the bus, come out the bus and left without applying the handbrake and all like that. And the bus drift over a deep precipice. And one person in that bus died. That was Claudie, my cousin. The one who have a plan the next 2 days after that. That was a Christmas Eve. So it was Christmas and then Boxing Day, the 26th, that she would give her heart to the Lord. Man can make plans, but you don't have the number of your days written in your hand, niggle. And so you need to act now before it is too late. May the Lord help you. May the Lord help you today to make that all-important decision. And I know you've perhaps come in the company of somebody. And so you might be able to speak to somebody. Whether you would like to ask the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Back there in Jamaica, I wouldn't have any problem calling you up here to come up here if you desire to. But I don't want to offend my brethren. They might like that. So the idea is, the Lord never called anybody in private as such. When he was here by the busy seaside, he says, Simon, Peter, and the others, come follow me. Matthew was at his workplace collecting taxes. He said, come follow me. And people watch them get up and follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. So we want to encourage you today to really make a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Could I invite us to stand and sing perhaps just one verse of that popular hymn, Just As I Am Without One Plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.